Around here, a person is honor-bound by their word, and the way to earn a person's trust is through action. Action that reflects character, honesty, principle, and a commitment to community. We're Pinnacle Bank, and we're dedicated to serving unique banking needs and working hard to deposit back into our communities. Not because we have to, but because it's the right thing to do. Upright and loyal, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
The start of the 2011 college football season is underway, and there are a number of compelling matchups that we're looking so forward to. One in particular is right here in Arlington at Cowboys Stadium with Oregon and LSU, the battle between two top five teams in the second annual Cowboys Classic, and in fact, two teams that are in line for a national title run. We are so delighted to welcome into our show from the CBS Sports Network, former NFL and Texas standout, the great Brian Jones. And Brian, it's wonderful to have you with us. I must share, though, a bit of a caveat to start off our conversation. You know, when you have a Sooner and a Longhorn talking sports, that can be a little bit dangerous. So you better be on your best behavior.
Big E, I'm going to take it easy on you today.
Outstanding. Well, we're going to talk about something outside of our conference, and that, of course, is the big game, Oregon and LSU. Forget about waiting till the bowl season to line it up. It is going to be so cool to watch these traditional powers get after it.
Yeah, after all the controversy we've been dealing with off the field, finally we get to some football, and this is a big game right out the gate, and I love that. That these two teams, especially LSU coming from the SEC, which has won with the last five BCS title games, and they always have an arduous schedule to navigate, yet they would take on a team that played in the BCS title game a year ago right out the gate. So this is going to be a fun ball game to watch. LSU, a lot of things swirling around the program. Of course, Jordan Jefferson and other players involved with the altercation a few weeks back. So Jefferson is out. And on the flip side, you've got one of the top players for Oregon, Cliff Harris, who's just a dynamite corner man, a dynamite returner. He's out of the ball game as well, which I have a lot of issues with, because what self-respecting man doesn't have a need for speed? Yes, the young man was going above and beyond the speed limit, but hey, we all have a need for speed. I'm a big NASCAR fan, so I can understand having a lead foot, but with those two key players out, it'd be interesting to see how both of these teams pick up the pieces and move forward. Oregon, ton of questions about the offensive line and the defensive line, although defensively they have a pretty good, robust rotation. So I think they'll be fine there. But the offensive line, the big question also, who's going to step in and take over for Jeff Mayo, one of their very productive wide receivers over the last few seasons. And then for LSU, you know, they lose Patrick Peterson, but I don't think they skip a beat, because Tyran Matu, little Cajun name there for you folks, true freshman a year ago. He lit it up there, and he's going to be manning one of those cornerback positions for LSU. He's top-notch. The running game, they lose Stephen Ridley, who went on to the pros, and Spencer Ware is a guy who lit up Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl last year. So this is going to be a fun matchup, a very physical game, and it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top there in Jerry's world. This has national title implications, and it's definitely – whoever loses, they've got a long road back to get back in that BCS title hunt.
Brian, now you bring up LSU's quarterback situation. They find themselves in a precarious situation, of course. Stepping up now for Jordan Jefferson is going to be Jarrett Lee. What can you tell us about him? As I understand, he has been around Les Miles' program for some time.
Yeah, he's been around, but he hasn't played that great. You know, 18 touchdowns, but also 18 interceptions. And for whatever reason, when they pick him off, they usually take it to the house. But he's going to have to step in and be a better decision maker. He's got to be more consistent, and that's what they were looking for from Jefferson. So now he's replaced by Lee. And also, don't forget, if Lee gets off to a bad start, I wouldn't be surprised if we see former Georgia quarterback Zach Mettenberger, who transferred from JC to LSU. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get some playing time. He's more of a prototypical type quarterback, 6'5", 250. And I think he may get some run if Jerry Lee struggles like he has in the past.
You're listening to the voice of CBS Sports Network college football analyst. He's a studio analyst with them, Brian Jones. Of course, we know you so well right here in the great state of Texas. And, you know, I want to digress for just a moment because it has been such a scandalous offseason in college football. What does the future hold for the LSU quarterback in Jordan Jefferson after you talked about his connection to that bar brawl?
Well, Big E, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but back here in my college days, me and my teammates were involved in a few altercations here and there.
Really?
You have my buddy Winford Tubbs on. He could tell you
stories. Oh, yes. Okay.
But he probably won't. So, you know, we learned two rules. Never rat on your friends and keep your mouth shut. But that being said, it's a serious deal down there. And hopefully the truth will come out. You know, there's always two sides to a story. Then there's the truth. And hopefully this young man hasn't derailed his senior year completely. But they've got to deal with it. You know, a number of teams dealing with suspensions and other off-the-field controversies right now. And that's just the nature of college football. And I think we'll continue to see that. Sometimes we're young and we're dumb and we do things. And when you throw alcohol in the mix, it makes it even worse. You know, it exacerbates the situation. So they've got to deal with that right. And not only that, but Russell Shepard, their top-notch receiver, you know, he's suspended right now. And as we're doing this interview, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to play because of some NCAA violations. Apparently, he asked a person who was being questioned or was going to be questioned by the NCAA. He shared some comments with him or some information with him that he wasn't supposed to do. So a lot of things going on off the field this offseason has kept everyone busy.
It certainly has. Let's simplify it, though. When Les Miles says that curfew is at 10 o'clock, it's not 10:30. You need to be back in your dorm, right?
That's true. That's one thing I never did. I never broke curfew.
I bet.
You know, when you've been in camp for so long and which is surprising, you usually get a break and you've got a night off where you can go and do whatever, but you know, that was so long ago when I was playing. I'm sure things have changed and they've refined curfews and things of that nature, but that's something you should never do, especially your senior starting quarterback. He should be leading by example, and so he would be in the, if there was no altercation and they found out he was out, he should still be in the doghouse.
We are looking forward to the kickoff. We're talking about Oregon and LSU. You had talked about it, the fact that this is a team, Oregon specifically, they can roll up that offense. They averaged over 47 points per game last year. Talk to us a little bit about their running back in LaMichael James. He's on everybody's big watch list this year.
Yeah, the young man is from Texas, and I don't know how he got out of there, but he did. And over 1,700 yards rushing, 21 TDs, 24 total a year ago. He's just exciting. I mean, he's so electric. He's so shifty, and he's got that escapability, and he's got that second, third, and fourth gear. I mean, he can kick it in the knot and take it to the house anytime he has his hands on the ball. He's an adept receiver out of the backfield as well. And I think not only him, but, you know, Darren Thomas as a quarterback, that was a big question mark coming into last season. This young man burst on the scene and had just a super campaign, over 2,800 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, only 9 picks. So dual-threat quarterback. So they're solid there. Kenyon Barner comes in and plays as well. I wouldn't really say he's a backup to LaMichael James because he's just as shifty and just as productive as James is. Just doesn't get the touches James does. So they're solid there. The offensive line is a big question mark. You know, they lost some guys up front. So can they open the holes up that they did last year? I think they will. I think they're going to come in and do what they do best. And that's run the football, but they're a tricky offense to stop. You know, Cal last year, they adopted the formula of faking injuries. They thought that would slow them down, and it did. They should have won that ball game if not for missed field goal late. So I don't know if we'll see any of that from LSU. I think they have a little bit more pride, and they've got some studs up front as well. You know, that's an SEC defense. They are always solid. And John Chavis, their defensive coordinator and longtime Tennessee defensive coordinator, he'll have something in store for Oregon.
Who do you see prevailing in this particular game?
I'm going to pick LSU in this ball game. And, you know, aside from the quarterback situation, I think their secondary and the physicalness of their football team, and they always have speed, I think they beat Oregon in this ball game. So I like the Tigers. They're going to be in the hunt for that SEC West along with Alabama and the team I think that will eventually prevail, Arkansas.
You know, it's interesting, Brian, because you cover the SEC so closely, and of course the Tigers, they were 11-2 last year by, you know, maybe perhaps our standards were thinking, hey, they had a pretty decent season, but by Tiger standards, that's not so. I mean, they really want to come out, and as I had said in the open, they want to compete for a national championship, and they've got to get after it and get off to a fast start in this particular game.
Well yeah, and that's it. Everyone thinks that's a great year, but not really. They only had about, I believe, 10 returning starters a year ago, and still to end the season 11-2, had some big victories. And you know, Les Miles, he's a guy, they should call him the cardiac coach, because it seems like he's always mired in some controversy, I should say late game theatrics. That's a better assessment of what he does. But somehow they get it done. What I admire about him, you see all these different trick plays. There's coaches out there, they practice that all the time. And I tell you, nothing upsets a player more to have to practice that stuff and then not have the confidence to run it in a ball game. And you don't have that with Les Miles. He'll practice it, and he'll have enough confidence in his players to execute those plays. And so they run them, and we've seen year in and year out that they've been successful with trick plays and going for it on fourth down. And so you have to give him a lot of credit for that. But this is a team that's pretty solid up front. They lose a ton of players each year to the NFL draft, but they seem to reload pretty good. And I think if you look at this defense, they're going to be solid. One guy I would focus on is one of their defensive ends, Barkevious Kiki Mingo, 6'5", 236.
How about that?
Yeah, Barkevious. How do we come up with these names? I mean, whatever happened to Brian? You know, something simple.
Right.
It's a trip.
It's crazy. Well, certainly high praise, as you had said, for the LSU head coach, Les Miles. Also high praise for their fans, because I expect the Tiger fans to travel extremely well. On hand at Cowboys Stadium, they're estimating around 90,000 fans, and I'm sure it's going to be a packed house of those Tigers.
Well, they do travel well, and they're a joy to watch and a lot of fun. I have a nephew who attends school there, so he keeps me up on everything, and he'll be there in Dallas cheering with them. So that's big-time SEC football, and that's what you're going to get when you've got a program with the history that LSU has. And not to take anything away from Oregon as well. They've had a phenomenal run, under Bilotti and now Chip Kelly. And so I think they'll travel well. They've got a very exuberant fan base also.
Okay, we got the big game in the Metroplex Saturday night, but we are, Brian, right here in the heart of the Big 12 Conference. Talk to us about your Longhorns as they are looking to rebound in a big way after a disappointing 5-7 record last year. I know they're looking for that revival. Was last year just, you know, a blip? I mean, was it an aberration and just, you know, from the usual UT norm and getting back to that elite status? You got to make it happen.
Well, I would hope so. I didn't see them losing 7 ball games, but I did see them losing at least 4 or 5 last year. But to lose 5 home games and to go off the rails the way they did, that was very surprising to me. But I think with the new changes, the new 7 new assistants over there, including the new strength and conditioning coach, this team is reinvigorated. They're rejuvenated. You know, I learned something a long time ago with one of my former teammates when I spent those 2 wayward years at UCLA. Ken Norton Jr., who played with me, played a long time for the Dallas Cowboys, then San Francisco 49ers, now linebacker coach for the Seattle Seahawks. Ken told me, don't get soft with success. And I think that's what happened to Texas a season ago. They got soft with success, didn't have a ton of leaders on that football team. And then you got to place a ton of blame on the coaching staff. You know, there's a sense of self-entitlement that set in on that football team. And you know, as a former athlete, you got to stay hungry. And the coaches have to find a way to keep you hungry. And that did not happen a year ago, and I think they've gone back to basics, and they realize just because you have Texas on front of your jersey doesn't mean teams are going to lie down. That's going to make them want to beat you even more. And so you have to realize that whatever it took to get you to the top, you've got to somehow maintain that same aggression, that same hunger, and they lost that a season ago. But I think they're going to find their way back. I see 8 or 9 wins this year. Will it be a double-digit win season? I don't believe so, but I think they're going to surprise some people.
Brian, as you had just mentioned, there's a brand-new slate of young coordinators. The team's resurgence certainly depends on that, but you were an outstanding linebacker at UCLA, as you had mentioned, and also at the University of Texas. You got to be excited about the new defensive coordinator and linebacker coach in Manny Diaz. What can you tell us about this guy?
Well, I sat down with Manny a few weeks ago, and I like what I'm hearing from him, and you'll see some things that are comparable to what they've run in the past with Will Muschamp. And he's a guy that likes to be aggressive. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to blitz all the time, but he's going to have these guys up front, especially those defensive linemen. They're going to be aggressive, and they're going to be moving forward. None of this read and react stuff. It's about being physical, engaging the guys in front of you, and I think that's what you're going to see. Now, that doesn't mean he will not bring the blitz. He will, but he just wants to have some hard-nosed guys that are going forward and getting after it, and I like that approach. There are going to be some zones. There are going to be some man-to-man. So it's going to be a nice little hybrid as far as that defense. The big question mark is how long will it take for that defense to resonate with these guys and become second nature? Anytime you change systems, there's a real chance there's going to be a lot of thinking out there. So hopefully they can simplify it enough to where early on these guys feel comfortable and they're not thinking and they're going out there and they're just playing football.
Okay, let's simplify things offensively. It was unsettled for quite some time in regards to the quarterback position, and now Garrett Gilbert, he has solidified that. Will he still be that quarterback at the end of the season?
Well, I'll say this about Garrett Gilbert. This young man didn't forget how to play football. That's a young man that almost engineered a comeback in the BCS title game a couple years ago versus Alabama. He played extremely well in that game, and he hadn't forgotten how to play football. Has his confidence been shaken? Somewhat. I'm sure it has after the beating they took a season ago, and everyone's pointing to the quarterback position, but that entire football team was pretty bad. So I think he's going to be fine. Does he have a short lease? Probably. But he came in with a clean slate just as the other quarterbacks did. You got Colt McCoy's young brother down there, and he's in the hunt. He's the backup right now. So I think it's going to be a short lease, but hopefully he's not looking over his shoulder. Just go out there and play. And then worry about the things you can control. It's a new offense for everyone, but he picked it up a little bit better than anyone else. That's why he's been named the starter. So hopefully he can find that game he had in the BCS title game versus Alabama back in 2010.
You're exactly right, and I was going to say that's what I would give Garrett Gilbert credit, is that he learned so much from Colt McCoy, and he knows what it does take to get to that national championship game. Right, Brian?
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, he was thrown in the fire. I mean, he didn't expect to play in that ball game. He's just sitting over there taking it all in, and all of a sudden, you know, 3-4 plays into the ball game, hey, grab your helmet, get in the game.
Yeah.
That's got to be a huge shock. So just give him time to learn this offense. I like the new offense. I sat down with Brian Harsin as well, of course, coming over from Boise State, and you know it's not going to be a predictable offense anymore. You're going to make those guys on the defensive side think a little bit, and I like that. You're going to have some motion. You're going to have a lot of misdirection. It's going to be a balanced offense. You're going to run. You're going to pass, and so I think it's going to this is going to bear well for Garrett Gilbert. You know, he's more of a prototypical quarterback, big tall kid, strong arm. So let him sit back there and fire the rock. And let's see what happens.
Okay, the recipient of a lot of those passes, of course, is going to be the running back Malcolm Brown, and he is on everybody's, as I said earlier, watch list. Tell me about this young man.
Well, Brown is a stud coming out of high school, and they like this guy. He's a physical football player, but I think it'll be him, and I think it'll be Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie's been there, has already graduated from college. If not for injuries, I think he'd have a lot more. There'd be a lot more confidence in his ability, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, but he's pretty good. This Joe Bergeron, speaking of Major Applewhite, who's now the co-offensive coordinator along with Harsin, he just raved about Bergeron. I mean, this kid is phenomenal, and I think he's going to make a lot of believers out of Texas Longhorn fans and, of course, out of the opponents this season if he's able to stay healthy. So they've got a nice stable of running backs. And the key is just going to be the offensive line. Can they open up holes? Have those guys gotten stronger and tougher up front? But I think the running back position, the quarterback position, they're going to be fine. Yes, a little shallow, a little thin, if you will, in the wide receiver position. with Malcolm Williams deciding not to come back. Of course, Marquise Goodwin is concentrating on his track right now, and good luck to that young man with his opportunity to get to the Olympics. So they're a little thin there, but Jackson Shipley. I played against Jackson's uncle, Steve Shipley. Stephen Shipley was at TCU, just an all-world tight end, and I ran into him this summer, and he said, BJ, Jackson Shipley will be better than Jordan. And we all
really?
Know, what
wow.
was able, you, we know what Jordan was able to do.
Yes.
His older brother with two bum knees. Jackson Shipley, man, and he's starting right now. So those are good bloodlines, apparently.
Yes, and Brian, you're dating yourself a little bit, tossing some of those names from way back in the day, right?
Hey, I hate to say it, but you can't cheat Father Time.
Hey, Brian Jones is with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We know him well. He is with the CBS Network, does an outstanding job. And obviously, with you being in the media, there's been so much buzz. Everybody's hair's on fire about the Longhorn Network and them teaming up with ESPN. Do you have any criticism for this, or are you excited that they're on board?
No, and if you look at the new deal, the Big 12 signed, the new television deal, and the opportunity they offered every member of the Big 12, anyone could have gone out and gotten their network. It just so happens University of Texas has a brand, such an iconic brand, that can demand the attention that's needed to start up a network. So anyone could have done it. Texas A&M could have done that. So to now bicker and disparage the University of Texas for taking advantage of that opportunity, I just think that it's ill-guided, it's wrong. If you want to go and you think the pasture is greener at the SEC or another conference, go. But you don't have to disparage the University of Texas for taking advantage of a $300 million opportunity. Show me a person who doesn't want to take advantage of that opportunity, and I'll show you a dummy. I mean, it just makes no sense. Just get to getting it and quit making these comments about my university, and good luck to you. I hate to see the rivalry end, and it looks like it may, because some hurt feelings on both sides, but it was a great rivalry. They have a wonderful fan base, Texas A&M does, as much as I hate them, but they've got a lot of good things, just like I hate you, your alma mater, baby.
Come on now.
you have to tip your hat to them, but A&M, pumping out their chest, you know, they haven't even been relevant. Just till recently, last year, they only won 9 games, and now they rule the roof. I mean, come on.
Well, Brian, let me jump in here, you know, and what I think about, too, is, you know, perhaps, you know, they're tired of being in the shadow of Texas, but, you know, I'm wondering, what does Texas A&M's head coach, Mike Sherman, what does he think about this move? Can you imagine the additional pressure on his job? They move, you know, hypothetically to the SEC, and they're saying that's inevitable. That is going to happen, but wow.
Well, of course, there's going to be a lot of pressure on that football team, and even in the conference, the Big 12 now. You know, they haven't won the conference. They didn't win the conference a season ago, but yes, they played well. They beat some the top-notch teams in the conference, but they still didn't win it. And so they you know, still have to get through Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, who are going to be very good this year. Of course, Texas, we'll see how they pan out at the end of the year. That's still going to be a big ball game. So you can't win the conference you're in, and now you're talking about moving on to arguably the toughest conference in all the college football. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But good luck to them. I'm sure the SEC, if that's where they're going, would like to have a foothold in Texas, the hotbed for all the recruiting. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, I will say this. I mean, it seems like a lot of this has been fan-driven. I mean, the fans seem to be on board in a very big way. You start looking at those message boards and what they're saying. I mean, they seem to be excited about, you know, the departure with the Big 12 Conference.
Like you said, they don't like playing second fiddle to Texas, and that's how it's always going to be. I'm sorry, but let's just admit it. You can always be second fiddle to Texas, even during its bad days at Texas. People still wanted to go to the University of Texas, and it's just – that's just the way it is. I didn't make it like that. Texas is just Texas. That's why your alma mater comes down here and gets all that dang talent. They should give us a trophy. All those trophies that Oklahoma wins, they should at least give us credit because half the team, the majority of the team's from Texas.
Easy now. Yeah, now I know when we look up and down Bobby Stoops roster, he's got a lot of Texas kids. But, hey, they're the ones making the decision to cross that Red River. And we will mark the calendar for October 8th. Brian, we definitely want to have you back. And as I close out our interview, I just want to say, you know, you and I, we have mutual friends, and I've heard so many wonderful things about you throughout the years. And you just finished up with your celebrity golf tournament right there in Austin, raising money for the Boys and Girls Club. Congratulations on that. What was the turnout, and how did all things go this year?
It, excellent. Probably our best year yet. We still haven't. We don't have the final tally, but I think we're right there at $100,000. Probably gross about $65,000-$70,000. So it was an excellent year. And thanks to all, you know, our sponsors, Multicam. You met those guys.
Oh yeah.
Here a week ago. They're wonderful. Harold Johnson and James Archer. They do a phenomenal job for us. Hilton Hotel, University of Texas Golf Course, and you know, Austin Limo. I could go on and on. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. They're just phenomenal. I've got some great partners in this deal, and it's just a joy to be able to give back, because if not for the Boys and Girls Club, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in Lubbock, Texas, correct? And you actually were involved with the Boys and Girls Club as you were growing up, correct?
We refer to it as Lubbock area. Sounds more metropolitan.
Okay.
L.A. So, yeah, I grew up there in L.A. Grew up in the Boys and Girls Club there, and still has a special place in my heart.
Outstanding. Brian, congratulations on your success, and tell all of our listeners where they can go and find you on that television dial.
I will be on tonight, actually. I'm about to head to the studio, and we've got an Armed Forces preview show, and then we've got, I think it's Holy Cross in Massachusetts tonight.
Oh, my.
So, you know, come on and flip over to CBS Sports Network and check out some, I guess it's Ivy League, isn't it?
Yeah.
Holy Cross in Massachusetts. And check out some smart football, right? But, check your cable provider for CBS Sports Network. We'll be on tonight and, of course, all day Saturdays. And Tuesday nights is Inside College Football.
Okay, the great Brian Jones has been with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Invitation is always open. What a great personality. And a little Boomer Sooner to you as well, Bri.
Boomer Sooner.
All right, Bevo BJ. We'll talk to you here real soon. Thanks, Brian.
Okay.